Australian True Crime. The live show is coming.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a true crime podcast, as the title suggests. So please consider this your warning that it's not suitable for children, and it probably will contain content that may be triggering to some people. Also, it's an Australian true crime podcast, so Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners should be aware it may contain the voices of deceased people.
The producers of this podcast recognise the traditional owners of the land on which it's recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal elders past, present, and those emerging.
It's estimated that around one-third of sexual assaults committed against Australian children are carried out by other children. According to the Australian Centre for Child Protection, Australian children are increasingly displaying harmful sexual behaviours, and there's a tendency within our society to minimise it and characterise it as normal sexual development. Our guest on Australian True Crime today, Emma, was the victim of other children's harmful sexual behaviours when she was 13 years old. We know that adult sexual predators tend to seek out vulnerable children to take advantage of. Disturbingly, that approach seems to be instinctive. As you'll hear, Emma was definitely vulnerable when her attackers singled her out from the crowd.
So it was my mum, my dad, and myself. I guess my memories of that time weren't the best sort of intro memories into life. My dad was quite a scary individual. He ended up actually having an affair when I was 3. And I know that he would put sleeping pills in my mum's coffee. In the evening, she'd have coffee or a drink and he'd drug her so she'd fall asleep.
So he could go out?
Yeah, I think she knew he was going out, but I think it would just make it a little bit easier for him to sort of get away with what he was up to. They ended up splitting up and I don't think I saw him for a good year, and he ultimately married the woman he had an affair with. My dad got himself locked up.
Oh, wow. What for?
Grievous bodily harm, actually. He was a bouncer and he had an altercation that I guess was slightly off the premises of the club he was working in. And this man had a pretty serious injury from it. I think it was neurological. And my dad ended up going to a correctional centre up there for a while. he got out and he was on parole, and he actually came down to see his parents and myself. And it was very sneaky. He was obviously breaching his parole conditions, and they chucked him back in for a while. So, yeah, it was a pretty how-you-going time.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? He's he was not great at decision-making, your dad. I don't know how he's going now. He's still alive?
He is. So I don't actually speak with my dad. I haven't spoken with my dad for, I'd say, 2 to 3 years now. So my little boy is 3 at the end of this month, actually. And just after he was born, I decided to cut contact with him.
So you did have a very traumatic thing happen to you when you were just 13 years old. So you had such an incredibly volatile life up until that stage already. And then there was a pivotal traumatic moment when you were 13. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so my grade 7 year was actually at an all-girls Catholic school. I didn't enjoy that at all. So my parents, they let me move. They said, yeah, you can go to a co-ed school. That's fine. We'll drop the cost anyway. Let's take you. So there was a feeder school from my primary school, easy bus to get to it. That's where they sent me. I think ultimately starting there, I had quite a lot of difficulty fitting in. I definitely liked boys though. That was always a thing. I always wanted to have a boyfriend, that label. I wanted to have a boyfriend. I wanted to hold hands, have a cuddle, maybe have a kiss, and that was it. So I'd started to develop a few little crushes, as you do when you'll have a boyfriend for 2 days. A couple of months into school, and from where I was living in that suburb, there was a particular grade 10 boy who would catch my bus. I wouldn't say I found him attractive, but I remember thinking he had really nice eyes. I always remembered that. So we'd always look at each other. And then I remember, as you do back then, you don't need to know the person, you just ask them to be your girlfriend. And he did exactly that. And I said yes, probably shouldn't have, but I said yes because I, you know, cool grade 10 boy.
He's in grade 10.
Yeah, yeah. That's super cool. So I was all about it. But the attraction still was never there for me. I just thought, okay, I'm just going to be a girlfriend. It did get too much. And one day we were jumping off the bus together. I got off at his stop, which is a short walk from home. And I think he'd either tried to hug or kiss me. And I just said, I don't really want to be your girlfriend anymore. And that was that. He'd started calling me again, but he'd be with his friends. So there was one friend who went to a different school and there was one friend who went to our school. They were both in the same grade, year 10. And this one particular friend who went to our school was, all the girls thought he was so cute. And they started playing me a little bit on these phone calls saying, so I'll give his friend a name, for instance. We'll just call him Jake. Oh, Jake likes you. You should come and hang out with us. Jake really likes you. He wants to see you. And I think they knew that girls liked Jake. So I think my ex-boyfriend was using that to sort of get me to hang around. So there was one day where I went to Jake's house. I actually went upstairs with him and we kissed. And the boys, so my ex-boyfriend and another of his friends who went to the other school, were outside on the street. And I remember them calling out to the bedroom window saying, stop rooting her and come down. And that sort of ramped up in the degrading comments. So that's where it sort of started to get a little bit worse. I mean, he was obviously hurt that I was up there kissing his friend. I don't think he was expecting that to happen. I eventually left and went home. So it was actually Easter weekend in 2007. I remember it was a really beautiful sunny day. And one of them, I can't recall who, got in touch with me. So out of the three boys, got in touch with me to say, Jake's parents are away, got the house to ourselves, we're drinking, you should come.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'd never been drunk. I think I'd had a sip of a cruiser, maybe, probably all I'd done. I got to the house and the boys were in the kitchen drinking some form of dark liquor. It was like a Jim Beam or a Jack Daniels. We went upstairs to Jake's room and I remember we're all sitting around. They pulled out a wine cask and they started pouring it into my mouth. I was accepting of this. I'd never tried it. So I was like, oh, okay. I remember I had my head back and I was allowing it or trying it. I think we got carried away and we were all passing it around. And then I remember them also opening the bottle of wine and they were giving it to me saying, drink this. So it was just so much alcohol. We were just drinking and drinking and drinking. And the next thing I knew was we were walking to the main bedroom of the house, which was Jake's parents' room. It goes blurry there for me. I was really quite drunk. But I guess the details that follow that are highlighted in my mind are this. I was on the bed with my ex-boyfriend. The other two boys were either in the room or nearby, but they weren't with me. I remember my ex-boyfriend taking my bra off. I remember him doing things to me that were incredibly painful. And me saying, stop, stop, stop. I don't know how many times I said that word, but it felt like I said it so many times. And then I remember him offering to do something else and me saying yes in order for that pain to stop. I then remember waking up, I don't know how long after it was, and I was completely naked on the floor of the bedroom. I had my phone at the time passed to me or thrown next to me, one of the two, and they said, your mum keeps calling you, you need to go home. So at this point, I've grabbed a pillow to cover myself, realizing I was completely naked. I remember they were all standing around, the three of them, and they watched me crawl on all fours nude to the ensuite while I was sick in the toilet. They said that they'd called a friend of mine who wasn't a close friend. She was actually one of the popular girls at school. But we were starting to form a bit of a friendship. She just happened to live close by and they were friends with her older brother. So it was an easy person for them to get to come and get me. They said, we've called so-and-so, she's coming to come and get you. You need to go out the front. So I've walked downstairs. I couldn't find an undershirt that I had on. I've just put my overshirt on. I've gone downstairs. I've walked out the front door and I remember just vomiting everywhere. Then remember my friend from school rocking up and it was a really awkward experience. I was sort of coming to at this point and I think she was a little bit taken back from maybe what she was seeing. But she ended up saying to me, I actually can't walk you home because I live 20 minutes down the road. She lived right behind and she said, I can't walk you home. I've got to go to a footy match with my family. That's what happened. She ended up walking off. I think she checked if I was okay, but I mean, it wasn't her responsibility. She, Yeah, so that's where she left it. And I've walked onto the street. The three boys at this stage were on their bikes. They used to love going to the skate park. That was the big thing in my suburb. So there they had their BMX bikes. They were riding around. And then as I've been walking down the street, my ex-boyfriend threw an empty condom wrapper at me. I've walked home. I remember my mum putting me in my very dark bedroom. I remember her checking my underwear. Yeah, so this was so the Easter long weekend, and we had the next day, I think, for as a recovery day. I think I hadn't processed what had happened yet. I think all I remember thinking was, I've got to make sure that those boys are okay. I've got to make sure that they don't think I'm disgusting. I've got to make sure I haven't done something wrong. And I remember getting on that bus, and I knew instantly that things were not going to be the same. I just knew it. And that's where the real beginning of my high school experience started from there, because it was slut shaming. It was intimidation. I lived every day going to school. I had to make that bus trip with them every day for the rest of that year. And yeah, it was awful. I knew that what had happened on that day wasn't okay. And I knew the words for it. I called it then. And I'm really proud of myself for calling it back then. In hindsight, I called it a sexual assault. But they controlled the narrative around it. They were more influential at school than me. They had more friends than me. They had more people wanting to please them than I had. So, I mean, they had girls that, you know, wanted to impress them. And
wanted to be with them. So what were they saying? They were saying what, that you wanted it?
They were saying that I was making up, that I was raped. And then it just got to the point where I was fighting so hard every day against these rumors. I think my mum just eventually was just like, you have to tell me what has happened. And I did. I clearly remember I was standing in her ensuite, and I told her what had happened. And she was like, can we please go to the police about this? This isn't okay. And I remember finally giving in at that point and go, yeah, like, let's go to the police, because there was nothing more that I could do. They went and saw all three of these boys and their parents.
God, Jake's parents finding out this happened in their bedroom.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened there, but it ended up making things worse at school. And then I just went completely off the tracks. I have this long blonde hair. I wanted to change that. I needed my hair to change. I remember I held myself differently. I spoke differently. I wagged something like 30 days of school afterwards just so I didn't have to be there. I think I knew that I was getting really upset. I didn't want to be. I was feeling really gross about the things that I was doing. My mum and I were having huge fights. And I think I'd had enough of that. I definitely didn't. I wasn't recovered. I wasn't recovered for a very long time, but I didn't want to be like that anymore. And I ended up going back to school, and I was just sort of not part of the conversation anymore. I guess that was the end of the initial aftermath. And then it was more coming back, recovering from that, just ignoring the comments at school, getting on with what I was doing. I had a few other things that were going on internally as a result the following year, I think. So you'd have another bullying instance, and then that would all sort of bring up those feelings again. I actually overdosed. I tried to seriously hurt myself. I took, I think it was 13 or 14 period pain pills. Thankfully, it didn't do all that much except make me a little bit sick. I met my first love. He came to the school in late grade 9, and instantly I was like, oh, he's hot. I like him. But the next year we started talking, and we ended up becoming, we had a relationship, and that went on from March 2009, so just before I turned 16, up until I was almost 19. So, and that was incredibly healing for me, because like, he thought the world of me, and he wasn't at our school when all that happened. So he didn't have this tarnished view of me. He just saw me for who I was. So that was really, really healing for me at that time, going into my adult years. But then I met my husband, and he is so good. He is so amazing. Like, literally the best outcome you could hope for in a situation like this. Like, I don't know how I found him. Yeah, so that's, I guess, where I am now. I can't be silent about stuff like this because I do have a daughter now. And I would hope that if something like this was recorded and put out into the world, even if it doesn't have my name connected to it, I can show her when she's 20 and say, this happened to me, but we got you. We got you here. We kept you safe. You know, I made a real big change in my life and I'm so happy. I'm so happy we got to this point.
Thank you to our guest today, Emma. If you need support after listening to this podcast, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or contact 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732 or 1-800-RESPECT.org.au. Indigenous Australians can contact 13 Yarn on 13 92 76 or 13yarn.org.au. Thank you for downloading this episode of Australian True Crime. We'll be back next week.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Australian True Crime. The live show is coming.